We're going to open up to Daf Tesvav Amid Beis. 15b. And we're going to take a look at the latter part of the Daf. And you'll see the two dots. If you count up from the bottom, it's about, I'd say, 10 lines up from the bottom.
High shevet,
right?
High shevet.
So the Gemara, is now going to analyze a line in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Ain donin es hashevet," that if we're judging a shevet, a whole tribe of Israel, just put this on the floor.
That's fine.
Yeah. Then we need a bezdin of Ayin Aleph. We need a Bezdin HaGadol, Sanhedrin HaGadol, and nothing less will do. Now, apparently we're judging an entire Shevet for some violation. Gentlemen, do me a big favor. I don't seem to find it. I think you gave it to me once, but I misplaced your email address, if you don't mind. Because tonight I wanted to see if we could organize the timing a little bit. I have to go to Sheva Brothers, but I didn't want to change the time because I couldn't figure out where your email is. All right. So if you have a piece of paper, I have a pen for you. If you
want
me to
send you a blank email?
Well, you can send me a blank email or write it down for me. You know what I mean? That would be helpful. So the Gemara asks the following question. This is on Daf Tesvav Amid Beis, about 10 lines up from the bottom. Hai Shevet Dechata B'mai. We need a Bezdin of 71 to condemn the Shevet. What was their sin? Elam, if you're going to tell me, the Shevet Shechilas HaShabbos, that their violation was Chil Shabbos, which is typical. Perhaps that's representative of any capital crime. The Gemara says the following. Amar, where do we find the Paligrachmana that the Torah makes a distinction between individuals and an entire group? Ben Yechidim Lemerubin. That's only Le'inyan Avodas Kochavim. With regard to Avodas Kochavim, we have the following distinction. If a yachid, an individual, or a group of individuals, as opposed to a rabin, we'll see what merubin is, if they violate avodah zarah, then we judge them in a court of 23, because that's the court for a chiyuv misa, and each one, if he's found guilty, will be punished with skila. However, if we have rabin means the masses, in this case it means an ear, that's called an ear hanidachas. And in the case of ear hanidachas, we need a bezdin of shivim v'echad, which is the next line in our Mishnah at the beginning of Sanhedrin, and if they're found guilty, then the punishment is going to be saif. Saif is different than skila. Bishar mitzvahs, mi polig, where do we find anywhere with regard to any violation of the law that we distinguish between the Yechidim and the Merubim? Ella, therefore, the Gemara says, we have no choice but to assume b'shevet shehudach, means the shevet was allured to worship Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, l'meimer, shall we assume d'medina d'rabim d'ayninan le, that the Mishnah requires a bezdin of 71 elders in order to effectuate a dina de rabin on the shevet, and that would mean that each member of the shevet found guilty would be punished by saif instead of skila. So the Gemara is now postulating that just like in the case of Ir, of a city that worships Avodah Zarah, it gets the status of an ir nidachas. So too, in the case of a shevet that worships Avodah Zarah, it gets the status of a shevet of a rabim. And in both cases, therefore, we will shift the punishment from skila to saif, and the judgment will be shifted from a bezdin of 23 to a bezdin of 71. So the Gemara says kiman. Kiman is a way of the Gemara analyzing that when we go through the various opinions, it's not going to work out according to any of the opinions. Lo kirab Yoshia, velo kirab Yonasan. Now, this machlokas tanoim focuses on what we call irani dachas, the city worshipped Avodah Zorah. And Rav Yoshia and Rav Yonasan are going to argue how many people constitute a city. Like, for example, if you have a small number of people that live together, is that called a city? And not only that, if you have a very large metropolis, is that called a city? In other words, we need a minimum and a maximum. Ad kama osim irani dachas, what are the numbers that make up a city that if we judge the city as an irani dachas, they have a din of rabim? Again, keep in mind, rabim means number one, that we need a bezdin agol of 71, and number two, the misa is going to be sayif instead of skila. So the first opinion is that of Rav Yoshi. Me'asara v'ad me'a. If the city is made up of a minimum of 10 dwellers, and a maximum of 100, that's called a city. So let's say you have 9 people living together in a small village. Would that be called an ear?
No.
No. What happens if you have 101 people living in a slightly larger village? That's also not called an ear.
What's it called?
That's called Dina de Yachid, meaning it's a conglomeration of Yechidim. It's no longer it doesn't have the intimacy, so to speak, of a city. You know, a city is like a one culture, it's one influence, you know, they follow each other. So up to 100, says Rav Moshe, is still called a city. Beyond that, it's just a massive group of individuals. Like, for example, I come from a city called New York. In my day, I don't know what it is today, the population of New York was 8 million. I mean, there were larger cities than New York. I think Tokyo and other cities. So when you have a city that large, it's not a city. It's just masses of people. You know, they don't form any sort of a cohesive entity. Not culturally, not sociologically. They don't have the same minhagim. You know, New York was famous for the gangs. You know, you have the Italian gang and the Puerto Rican gang. Even the Jews, I think, had a little bit of a gang at one point when Mary Kahana was around. But
by definition, they're saying that all this group are all going and doing the same thing.
So at what point do we consider it an ear such that they all are considered doing the same thing? Only between the number 10 and the number 100. Once it's 101, that's not a city. That's already a metropolis. And therefore it's going to be judged as Yechidim, number one, in a bezdin of 23, and number two, for the Misa of Skil. That's the opinion of Oshia. Rav Yonasan Omer, Mimea, the minimum amount of people that live in the city to qualify as a city has to be 100. You know, if it's only 99, that's, you know, again, it's good for beers on the wall, but it's a very small, it's not even considered a city. Ad Rubo Shel Shevet, up until, but not beyond, the majority of the Shevet. So let's assume a city is located in Shevet Zvulun, let's say. And the capital city of Zvulun has most of the population of Shevet Zvulun. Let's say Zvulun is made up of 50,000 Jews. This city has 25,000 Jews plus one. That's again a metropolis. So the Gemara says the following. Afilu Rav Yonasan lo komer el rubo avakulo lo. Meaning, if the size of the city is beyond Rove, beyond the majority of the Shevet, it's already a metropolis. And it's judged as what? As Yechidim. Not as Merubim, but as Yechidim. That means a Bezin of 23 and a Misa of Skew. So now our Mishnah says that you judge the Shevet, which means the entire Shevet was guilty of worshipping Avodah Zarah. Well, according to Rav Yoshe, once you go beyond 100, it's a Dina Diyachid. There's no requirement of a Bezin of 71. And according to Rav Yonason, once you go beyond the Rov of the Shevet, it's already Dina Diyachid. It's just a massive amount of conglomeration of people. It's not a city. So no one seems to fit the description of our Mishnah of a Shevet that worshipped Avodah Zarah, because Mimonavshach. If you go like Rav Hoshea, it's not a city in the sense of a cohesive entity that's called Dina Derabim, because it's too large, it's beyond 100. And even if you take Rav Yonason's opinion, it's beyond Rubo Shel Shevet, and therefore it's too large, it's a metropolis, and it's not a city, it's not a one entity which we could call Dina de Yoch. I'm sorry. What did I meant to say? Which just let me just make sure I said that right. That if it's larger than Rubo Shel Shevet, then Rabbi Yonason says it's a Dina de Yoch. Okay, that's what I meant to say.
By definition, it doesn't seem to. I don't understand. By definition, there's a group of people that are all acting as a group, all doing the same wrongdoing. And you say because there's more than a certain number of them all together doing the wrongdoing, they're not all together the individuals. It seems to be self-contradictory. That's what I don't get.
Again, I'm not here to explain philosophy. I'm just trying to get the facts down to the ground.
They're all acting together.
The facts down. These are the facts you have to know. No. There's something called the Dina Derabim, and there's something called the Dina Diyachid. The maximum number of people, if we take Rabbi Yonason's view, to establish a Dina Derabim is Rov Shevet. Once you go beyond Rov Shevet, it's already Dina Diyachid. Again, I'm not going to give you philosophy. I can yell and scream from now until doomsday, and you'll either accept my philosophy or you won't. But that's irrelevant. What's relevant is that we have the facts on the ground.
What's a Dina Rubo Shel Shevet? Every Shevet had a different amount of people.
Correct. So I guess it's hard to know, but I guess there's a certain concentration of a Shevet in one area. I don't know. That's what this article that I want to go through with you is about. You know, to try to see how the Gemara just engineers this whole thing.
You also have a plague, and there's less than 50 people that remain in that Shevet, and now you've got a mathematical impossibility.
If what? Say it again.
If you had a plague and wipes out, and
plague,
50 people left in the Shevet, now you have a mathematical impossibility, because you've got to have less than 100 people, but Rubo Shel Shevet.
I see what you're saying.
Anyway,
that's brilliant. Now, based on this whole sugya, the Gemara rejects this. If you take a look on the top of Tezayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara says that's what the Mishnah is not talking about, a Shevet Shehudah, but rather a Nasi Shel Shevet, Shechatas Kina. And that means that we have something called the Nasi of the Shevet. He has a special status. He represents what we call Srara, that means leadership. He has a status of a sovereign leader over his Shevet. And if he's guilty of a capital crime, we're going to have to judge him in a Bezdin of 70, of 71. Okay. What I'd like to do now is take this page that I gave you and let's see what goes on here.
You need a majority when the capital crime. You need 100%.
What are we talking about? We're talking about an Irani Dachas. Irani Dachas means the majority of the city. And the Gemara thought that in the case of Shevet, we're talking about the entire Shevet, and that goes beyond what we call Dina Derabim. That's already too large, and therefore it's Dina Diyachid. So it cannot be that our Mishnah requires 71 elders in order to condemn a Shevet for Misa Saif, because if the Shevet is large enough and the entire Shevet worshipped the Avodah Zarah, then under the law that's going to be considered Dina Diyachid and not Dina Derabim. Again, the paradox here that we have to keep in mind is that when you talk about Dina Diyachid, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have a small number. It might mean that you have too large of a number. And if the number is too large, then that also becomes a Dina Diyachid. V'tzarech biur. He says, I don't understand. Apparently, the Gemara is considering the possibility that there are two entities in halacha, as far as Avodah Zarah is concerned. There's one entity called an Irani Dachas, and there's another entity called a Shevet. And I'll prove it to you, because the Mishnah says in two different paragraphs that we require a Beis Din of 71 judges to condemn, and first the Mishnah mentions to condemn a Shevet, and then the Mishnah goes on and says, Ein Donimus Irani Dachas Elav Beis Din Shalayinav. It's absolutely clear that there are two different categories. One is called an ear, and one is called a shevet. And he says the following: Vehine shevet shehudach einam darim beirachas. How does he know that the shevet doesn't live in one city? You know, especially today when we know of a metropolis that could have the largest city on the face of the earth, probably 12 million people, maybe much more. I don't know the numbers. Why can't it be that the entire Shevet lives in one city? What's the answer to that, Rabbi Osai? Why is it impossible to assume that the entire Shevet lives in one single city?
Because the Shevet is more than a city.
No, because if the entire Shevet lives in a city, then that's called an Irani Dachas.
Uh-huh.
Do you follow what I'm saying? The Mishnah sets up two different paragraphs.
Yeah.
There are two halachas here. There's one halacha that requires Beis Din Shalayin Alf in the case of a Shevet, Shehudach. Hudach means they worship Avodah Zarah. And another, another section in the Mishnah that says the ear worshipped Avodah Zarah. And you need a Beis Din to condemn it, a Beis Din of Shivim V'yech of the Sanhedrin Agdol. Obviously, they're not the same. So it must be, he says logically, that the Shevet is spread out amongst many different cities, or at least two different cities minimum. If the entire Shevet lives in one city, then I don't need a din of Shevet here. I already have the din of ear. So let's read it inside. He says, Hine Shevet Shehudach, Einam Darim V'ir Achas. It can't be that they all live in one city. You can't say that the reason why we require 71 judges is because it's a shevet. Ela be'ir, because the city itself worshipped Avodah Zarah. It doesn't matter one iota if the city is made up of a single shevet. Let's say you had a city that was all shevet zvulun. What difference would that make? It would still come under the law of ir anidachas. The ena shevet mosif klum. The fact that every single member of that city happens to be a member of a particular shevet is totally irrelevant as far as the din of Irani Dachas. Because if you take a look at that Mishnah, it says, number one, Ein Donin Es Shevet, and then it says, Ein Donin Es Ir Hanidachas. In both cases, the Mishnah spells out that you require 71 elders. Is what we see from this is Harei, obviously, Davi Trei Dinim, it's two different Dinim. There's one din on the shevet, and they worship the Avodah Zarah. There's another din on the Irani Dachas, and these are two separate entities. It can't be that the entire Shevet dwells in one particular city, because then we already have the halacha of Irani Dachas. I don't need a new halacha of Shevet Shehuda. Vadin Shevet Shehuda chaviyafilu im darin baharbe ayoros. We have no choice but to assume that the members of this Shevet are spread out amongst different cities. V'im Kain, if that be the case, Tikshi, you should ask the following question. Eifo nemar din shevet shehudach, desalkadayt the shevet shehudach tzarech bez nagodol. How do you establish a din on a shevet when the shevet is spread out amongst different cities? What entity or what enterprise could be considered a shevet if the shevet is split up into different cities? Because if the shevet is split up into different cities, then what kind of halacha are you going to have? What it means that in each one of these cities, they worship the Avodah Zarah, and therefore the entire shevet worship Avodah Zarah, you still don't really solve your problem. Because even if every last member of the shevet that's spread out in each city would have worshipped Avodah Zarah, then once again, You'd have to somehow. How would you connect? You know, how would you connect? I mean, again, theoretically, maybe you could. I don't know scientifically how you would do this. Maybe you could investigate, you know, all the different cities that have dwellers again, if the Shevet is spread out amongst many different cities, how are you going to orchestrate this? You know, we want to get to a situation where the entire Shevet worshipped Avodah Zarah. They're spread out amongst many different cities. What are we going to do? We're going to take a... We're going to send some sort of an what do they call it? Private detectives, you know, and they're going to seek out every single city on the face of the map of the land of Israel from Metula to Beersheba, and they're going to try to figure out if the entire Shevet worshipped Avodah Zarah. It just doesn't make any sense. The whole sugya is mirab sinigra, as we say. It's very, very difficult. Let's go on to the next paragraph, because the plot grows thicker. He says, Vihine, the Gemara rejects this possible interpretation of our Mishnah, that we're talking about a Shevet Shehuda, because it doesn't square neither with Rav Yoshia nor with Rav Yonah's son. Vitzarech Bira, I'm fast forwarding to the fifth line. He says, my diyama b'gemara, the Gemara says, lo asik Rav Yoshia. It cannot figure according to Rav Yoshia. Hello, Rav Yoshia, Iri le'inyan irani dachas. Rav Yoshia's statement was, what's the size, how many dwellers are there in the city to constitute an irani dachas? Al zelma Rav Yoshia, that if it's greater, it's a metropolis, it's more than 100 members, is then nafka, it removes itself, it exits, so to speak, from the status as an ir. Just like if there was less than Asara, it's not considered a city. K'mochein Yosef imelo mikri ir. U'mishum hachi. Therefore, if there's more than 100 people in the area, eino nidon b'din ir anidachas. We can't condemn the city as a city. Aval ha mi'o yesh lomer, but we could still say, the kol zekak hecha da Yosef imelo avishemet. But let's say that you went beyond the number 100, and they all were members of the same Shevet. Hechadavi Shevet, Einu Toli B'Shem Ir, right? We prove from the Mishnah that there's a separate entity called the Shevet. So who says that according to Rav Oshia, if there are more than 100 people, okay, it's not an ear, right? It's a conglomeration of individuals, but maybe, just maybe, beyond 100, they're members of the same Shevet. So that now we can take on a new enterprise, a new status, namely the status of a Shevet. The Eshlom HaShapir, the Nidon B'din Shevet Shehuda. How many people follow this kasha? This is a mind-boggling question. The Gemara quotes Rav Yoshia that the maximum for Ir HaNidachas is 100. So what? We're not talking about Ir HaNidachas, we're talking about a Shevet Shehuda. So it could very well be that Lu Yitzur, if you had a situation where more than 100 members of the city worshipped Avodah Zarah, but the surplus beyond 100 were members of the same Shevet. So let's say, for example, you had a city that was made up of 150 people, they all belonged to Shevet Zvulun. So in that case, we can say the Shevet was Hudah. That has nothing to do with Rav Oshia. When Rav Oshia put the cap, the ceiling, at 100, he was talking about ear. But he's not... He's not opposed to the possibility of calling it a Shevet.
Yeah, but then how? Let me judge the Yechidim.
Why? Because again, Rav Oshi only says, as far as your definition of an ear that judges Yechidim, he's not excluding a Shevet. He never even addressed the question of a Shevet. Why couldn't Rav Yoshia embrace the possibility that the Shevet is made up of more than 100 people? And if more than 100 people would worship Avodah Zarah, because again, in the engineering of it, he would be happy if all the members of the Shevet lived in one city. Otherwise, just technically, the engineering is going to be very complicated, because what are we going to do? We're going to start sending out a flyer, and see how many people worship Baal, some sort of Avodah Zarah of this Shevet, and we're going to send it out to all this. Well, what are we going to do? But if you have a concentration of that Shevet in one city, that's okay. Okay, now we have to ask the following question. If you have a concentration of that Shevet in one city, then we already have the din of Ir HaNidachas. So why do I need the din of Shevet? And the answer is because under the rubric of Ir HaNidachas, what's the cap, what's the maximum? 100, according to Rav Oshia. Now if we go beyond 100, it comes under a different category. What's that called? A Shevet, if it happens to be that all the members of the city belong to one Shevet. Who says, which birdie whispered in your ear that Rav Oshia could not condemn the Shemit if there's more than 100 people. Again, you can't condemn the city if it's more than 100 people, because then it doesn't have the status of an ear. It's too large to be a city. We called it a metropolis. But who says it doesn't have the status of a Shemit? Ribbono Shel Olam, they all belong to Shemit Zvulun. So why isn't that a Shemit? Rav Yoshe never said that there's a cap on a Shemit. He said there's a cap on an ear. So why does the Gemara assume up front that there's no way we can interpret that Mishnah as Shemit Shehudach according to Rav Yoshe?
Because that's how we interpreted the Gemara before. We thought you can't explain it according to you inferred it that way. In Havamina, how explain the Gemara, we thought you cannot.
The Gemara says you can't interpret the Gemara as Shemit according to Rav Yoshe. Yeah. Why? Because Rav Yoshe says that Ir Nidachas only goes up to 100. Mm-hmm. Wonderful, but that doesn't mean that Rav Yoshe is committed to say that after 100 it can't come under a different category. There's a new halacha, a new status of a shevet. Maybe there's more than 100 members of that same shevet in that city. Mm-hmm. So why do you reject this misinterpretation of that Mishnah, such that the Gemara has to introduce that it's not a shevet shudach, it's a nasi shal shevet shudach. Joel, are you with me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
More or less, again, it's a bit complicated, it's conceptual, but I think it's understandable. There are two entities, and I'll prove it to you. The Mishnah has two different categories, two different paragraphs. One is called an ear, and one is called a shevet. What's unique about both these categories, in this particular presentation of the Gemara, is that their nidon, they are judged in a din of Rabin. Rabin means a new entity. Well, you know what? I'll substitute another word just for the sake of pedagogy. Make it a little easier. Okay? We'll make up our own word. It's a tzibur. What's a tzibur? A tzibur is not a conglomeration of individuals. A tzibur is a new entity. In Gestalt, it's called the whole is greater than the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. You know? You remember, I don't know if you ever, I know this from Disney World. They have this screen. Have you ever played that game? You know, and you press on each box and you see a little part of the face, and at some point you have to identify the face. You know, it's some famous, you know, or infamous person. So the Gestalt psychologists say that you're not looking at little pieces, because there's some new entity, the countenance of a person, it's greater than the sum of its parts. So in halachic terms, there are two entities that are greater than the sum of its parts. They emerge as one unit. Okay, I don't want to use the word unity, because that word has different meanings in our context here, in terms of Israeli politics. But what I mean to say is that there's a new unit, a new entity, and that's called an ear or a shevet. Two different categories. And it has, and the nafkamina is that there's this one set of rules that will govern the ear if the ear worships Avodah Zorah. That's the parash of Ir Nidachas. And then we have another track, which is called the Shevet, if the Shevet worships Ir Nidachas. I'm sorry, worships Avodah Zorah. So the Gemara says this can't be. Why? Because Rav Oshi says the cap is 100. And now we're talking about a Shevet. The Shevet is made up of more than 100. But what difference does it make? Rav Oshi was only talking about the law of the ear. He didn't commit himself to say that once you have more than 100 people in the city, that's it. There's no Dina de Rabin. There's no new entity. There could be a new entity. Don't call it an ear. Call it a shevet. Again, I mean, that's conditional on the fact that the members of the city belong to one shevet. Ulechara yenira de pirchaso haisa. That maybe the Gemara is... Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped a few lines. V'hine ha-makshan parach. Right, the Gemara rejects this possibility of Shevet Shehudach. Afilu Rav Yonasan. Why? Because Rav Yonasan said that the Dina de Rabim could only go as far as Rubo Shel Shevet, but not Kulo Shel Shevet. Our mission assumes that even if the entire Shevet, every single last member of the Shevet worshipped the Avodah Zorah, then we're going to judge them in a bezdin of Ein Aleph, and they have a status of a dina de rabin. Ulechora hayinir de pirchaso haisa di echam Rav Yonasan dikshe rubo shel shevet hudach eino nidon bedin ir nidachas elikol echa nidon bifnei atzvo biskila ki yechidim. That what Rav Yonasan was saying is that if you have a situation where most of the shevet worshipped Avodah Zorah, then we're not going to condemn this this as an ir nidachas, right? Because Rabbi Yonason says once you have rov shevet, it's beyond the cap, the ceiling for ir nidachas, and then we judge each one as an individual. That's called dina diyachid, and they get skila, and you don't need a bezin of ayin aleph. All you need is a bezin of chav kibbutz. Halo tepukalei sheyu nidonim b'sayif u'besanhedri gedola midin shevet shehuda. The Gemara is asking, so what if you have more than rov shevet? You can still require a condemnation in the highest court of Israel and change the misa from skila to saif because of the din of shevet shehuda. Why did Rabbi Yonason say that once you reach the level of rov shevet, it means that it's not ir ani dachas, it's dina diyachid? Okay, so it's not dina diyachid. It's not ir ani dachas. But let it be dina deshevet shehudach. It's muchach, so the Makshin proves in that the leka din, there's no such entity called shevet shehudach. The Torah never, there's no parsha in the Torah called shevet shehudach. Achena kati tzorch biur. Dehine af lefi ma desalka daitach. The ikar din shevet shenidach, kemoshiyesh din ir nidachas uleshevet shehudach niboy kol tnoi ir nidachas lachul aleh Hashem shevet shehudach mikomakom lohay leshevet shehudach din keir nidachas. He's asking the following question: the Gemara is assuming that when Rabbi Yonason said that if you have rov shevet, then you're out of the parameters of ir nidachas, because rov shevet is too large of a group. But that makes sense if you assume that the laws of shevet are identical to the laws of ir nidachas. So then Rav Yonason said, well, if there's rov shevet, that's out. You know, you can't. But what if I prove to you that the laws of the Shevet are different than the laws of an Ir Nidachas? Then once again, Rabbi Yonason is only talking about applying the laws of Ir Nidachas, those unique laws. So he quotes here on the top of the second, the flip side of your page, Reish Chaf Beis, he quotes the Rambam in Perek Dal Milchus Avodah Zorah. And there are special unique dinim to ir nidachas. What are those unique dinim? The Rambam says, Makabsin is called shlala. We take all the possessions of the members of the city. El toch rechova, they put it in the center of the city. Sarfin is called shlala. And they have to burn all these artifacts. Imam edina b'esh. Shenemer v'sarafta b'esh esair v'eskol shlala. These are unique dinim that apply to the case of ir nidachas. We don't find anywhere that in the case of shevet shehudah these dinim apply. So that now when our Mishnah sets up two different clauses, two different bubbles or paragraphs, one for ir nidachas that requires a bezin of ayin aleph, and another paragraph that requires a shevet shehudah according to this happening, shevet shehudah and requires ir nidachas, what it means is that the Shevet Shehudach is not going to have the status of an Ir Nidachas. You know, we don't have any dinim or mitzvahs that we have to take, you know, all the rechush, all the shalal of the entire Shevet and put it in this thing. That's a special din in Ir Nidachas, that the Ir has to be destroyed. V'hainu, mishum de v'Shevet Shehudach, what the Mishnah is telling me about Shevet Shehudach is nidon. Ladun bedina de rabim, which means two things again, besayef as opposed to skila and besanej gedol as opposed to 23. Aval ir nidachas, that goes way beyond. Not only do you need a sanhedrin gedola and the punishment of besayef, but the ear has to, you know, the ear takes upon itself a new status in halacha that generates new dinim and new mitzvahs that we mentioned before about Sreifa. The Kevin Shekane Tikshi, the after Rabbi Yonason Omar, the Hechi Abi Rubishal Shevi Yotzami Torah's ear. Okay, Rabbi Yonason says that if it's too large, the city is made up of Rubo Shel Shevet, and therefore it's not Nidon, Bedina de Rabim, as an ear in Idachas. Aval Shapi Yeshlom, we still have room to say that Nidon Oso B'din Shevet Yehudah. Again, Shevet Yehudah would not be the same as Ir Nidachas, but there would be two dinim that are generated once we have a judgment on the Shevet as a Shevet, as a new entity, as a Rabim. And that's we said before, Saif and Sanhedrin Agedolim, B'din Shevet Yehudah. So why did Rabbi Yonasan say that there's a cap here of Rova Shevet? Even if there's Rova Shevet, even if there's the entire Shevet, we can still give it the status of an ear shahud, of a Shevet Shehuda. The answer is that Rabbi Yonah wants to tell you the following: that up until Rov Shevet, it has the status of an ear nidachas with those unique dinim of an ear nidachas. Once it goes beyond Rov Shevet, it's no longer an ear nidachas. V'lo yochel of kol adinim shechal al ir anidachas. Avaleinu chinami nidon bedina derabim b'toras what? B'toras shevet Yehuda. So Rabbi said, let's just summarize two basic problems that we have in this sugya. First of all, it seems apparent that shevet Yehuda is not referring to a shevet which lives, the entire shevet lives in one city. Because if the entire Shevet lives in one city, then forget about the din of Shevet, it has the din of Ir Nidachas. And secondly, why does the Gemara object to the, and reject this possibility of Shevet Yehuda based on Rav Yoshia and Rav Yonasan? Both Rav Yoshia and Rav Yonasan are only setting up the ceiling for what?
For Ir
Nidachas. They're not addressing the issue of Shevet Yehuda. They're talking about the unique dinim of the status of an Ir Nidachas. So an Ir Nidachas, according to Rav Yoshia, is maximum 100, and according to Rav Yonasan, it's maximum Rova Shevet. But they're not saying that if you go beyond those numbers, it cannot be classified or subcategorized under a dina derabim, but it's not the dina derabim of Ir Nidachas, it's the dina derabim of a Shevet Yehuda. And you'll ask me, my nafkimina? There's a great nafkimina, because an Ir Nidachas has a status and generates new unique dinim in as much as it is an Ir Nidachas, and those dinim don't apply to Shevet Yehuda. But what dinim do apply to Shevet Yehuda under the rubric of dina derabim? Number one, Ayin Aleph, and number two, Saif as opposed to Skil. You have his kashas, Alan? I mean, I hate to say it, but he just throws a bomb here. I mean, the whole sugya is like topsy-turvy. You understand what I'm saying? You know, sometimes you ask a little bit of a kashi, you have a stira, you have a ramba, you know, you scratch your head. But here, and he's basically proving to us that we don't know simple pshat in this sugya.
And then back to the established way we found the concept of Shevet Shehudah. We said that's not even a concept that we can...
The Gemara completely rejects the concept of Shevet Shehudah and substitutes a brand new concept called Nasi HaShevet. And what forces the Gemara to reject, this? If the Gemara had a Havamina, that there is such a thing as a Shevet Shehudah, why did the Gemara reject that Havamina? You're going to quote to me Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Yonasan? They're only talking about Irani Dachas. They're not addressing the question of Shevet Shehudah. Maybe they can accept Shevet Shehudah. And it means that although we passed beyond the margins of Irani Dachas, but we still have a different halach of Dina Derabim, this new entity, this Gestalt, and that's called Shevet Shehudah. Why did Gemara reject that possibility? Joel, can I trouble you for just a little hot water here? Do me a chesed, because I don't know, I'm so allergic to lukewarm tea. I don't know. Yeah, Mimanashak, either it's iced tea or it's hot tea. I don't know. It's somewhere in the middle, just doesn't go. I'm too much of a litvak.
Sorry, go ahead.
No. On the
71,
you need three different things. Or you need 71?
Well, I don't know anything about 36. I know either 71 or 23. I don't know what 36 is.
The majority.
The majority. 36 is the majority of...
Oh, you mean in the final decision of the Beis Din, 36.
Okay, so then that makes that more kul. 36 out of 71 is a more makul thing because it's a lower percentage than 12 out of 23.
Well, you know, when you say kul, I mean, that's going to depend...
What chance are the guards getting away with it if they were naughty? Because they needed.
I'm not sure if I understand. Oh, cool. I mean, you mean no. You need no. You mean You need more judges. Is that what you mean to say? Thank you so much. You need more judges. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, no, I think it works. I was doing percentage-wise.
Now, again, I agree with you, Alan, that whenever you up the ante on the Beis Din and the amount of judges, that's a cooler, because then we're saying it's, you know, the punishment is conditional on the fact that you get that many judges. But sometimes the judgment is so severe, meaning it has a ripple effect on all of Klal Yisrael. You know, we're seeing something that's so, like, for example, the Gemara says that if you want to condemn a Kohen Gadol, mm-hmm, for a capital crime, you need a Beis Din of Ayin Aleph. Now, on the one hand, that's a cooler, because that means that there's a good chance that you won't get enough of a majority to condemn the Kohen Gadol, because you're talking about a Beis Din of 71 elders. But on the other hand, what that cooler really reflects is the severity, you know, the implications of putting a Kohen Gadol to death. So, yes, we are making it more difficult to put the Kohen Gadol to death. Now he quotes a Rambam. The Rambam says the following. V'yu ha-mudachim, he paskins like Rav Yonason, mimea v'yad rubo shel shevet, avalim hudach rubo shel shevet, donen osom ki yechidim. Again, because our Gemara rejects the entity of Shevet Yehudah. There is no halachic entity called Shevet Yehudah. So if you go beyond Rov Shevet, then it's no longer an ear. If it's no longer an ear, it's just a conglomeration of individuals. Shenemar Yoshvei Ha'ir Lo Kfar Katan V'lo Kfar Gadol. You know what he's saying? It can't be too small, it can't be too big. This is like Goldilocks, you know what I mean? It's got to be Baby Bear, I guess. It can't be a small kfar, because that's not an ear. And the Torah says, Yoshvei ha'ir. So that's a kfar kotel. The low krach gadol is not called an ear, because it's a massive metropolis. And in the context of Rav Yonason, once you have Rov Shevet, that's called a metropolis. Now, if it's pachos mimea, kfar katan, says the Rambam. If it's rubo shel shevet, it's a krach gadol. Neither of these definitions can be categorized as yoshvei ha'ir. And the Rambam is quoting a Yushalmi. The Yushalmi says, in the last perek of Sanhedrin, amrin et shom ir lo kfar, ir v'lo krach. So we have three categories. We have something called a kfar, we have something called an ir, and then we have something called a krach. The din of nidachas only applies in that middle category, which is an ear on nidachas. It doesn't apply to a kfar, and it doesn't apply to a krach. I'm just thinking out loud to myself, does this parallel Masech to Megillah at all? Just give me a second, I'm talking to myself. I'm not crazy, but I'm talking to myself. In Megillah, we say that there are the kfarim, and then the prazim, and then the krachim. Yeah, wow, that's interesting. Just stop, you know, this has nothing to do with Hasugya, but these three categories have their parallel in Hilchas Megillah, right? In other words, the Kfarim are going to read the Megillah on certain days, that's called Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, and the Prozim will read it only on Yud Dalet, and the Krachim, who live in the big, big cities, they're going to read the Megillah on the 15th, because they have a din of Shushan. Okay, anyway, but these are the three categories. You have a Kfar, you have a krach, you have an ear, and then you get to the krach.
But sorry, with Purim, it's a krach is also wall and also size? Size also matters?
No, I don't know. It's probably, it has to do with whether it's a walled city, but it's called, in the language of the Mishnah, it's actually called a krach. So Yushalmi says, V'husha tehe michamisha rasara, Diri Rabbi Meir. Oh, now we have another shita. This is a whole other shita that it's got to be from 5 to 10. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mimea Viad Rubo Shel Shevet. Or maybe this is Rabbi Yonason Omer. I don't know. Maybe it's Rabbi Yonason. I can't tell you. Hare di Yisoda Dover di Yosef Mimea L'Rav Yoshia O Tfei Mi Rubo Shel Shevet. That's going to Rabbi Yonason. Eino Nase Irani Dachas The Yatza Michal Ir Umikri Krach. It's no longer classified or defined as a city, but rather it's a metropolis. We call it a Krach. Vihine, Hach Ptur Shal Krach. That means if a Krach worships of Avodah Zorah, they are not going to be judged under the law of Ir Nidachas, where the city has to be completely destroyed. Lo Shaykh Rak Medina de Ir Nidachas, Shenemar Yoshve Ir, which excludes a Krach Gadol. So this special halacha that a krach is considered patur from the harsh punishment of an ir nidachas, that's because they don't have the status of an ir. They're a krach. That logic does not apply to the halacha of shemet. Alhechash hanidon with what we're dealing with is a shemet shehudach, the shemet worship of avodah zarah, eino toli b'shem ir, and therefore. Afilun Yoshvin Baharbe Ayoros, even if let's say the Shevet is spread out amongst many different cities, and the members of that Shevet worshipped Avodah Zarah, right? So each cousin called up a cousin of his who lives in the nearby city, they all come from the same Shevet, and he says, hey buddy, there's this fantastic idol. It's Baal Por, I mean, he'll do anything for you, this idol, right? So let's go worship that idol. He says, "Lo shayach lemifterei mishum krach gadol." He says that even if these cities are absolutely massive cities, you're going to call it a krach. That doesn't exclude it from the status of a shevet, because a shevet is a shevet. The exclusion of a krach is because the Torah says, with regard to ir nidachas, it's got to be an ir and not a krach. In Cain, now our situation gets even more complicated. The plaque grows thick. And gave my parach, Gemara was Gemara asking, Kiman, the loker of Yoshia, u the loker of Yonasan, they are only addressing the question of an ear, and they're excluding a kfar and a krach. But they're not talking about the din of a shevet. A shevet is an entirely different entity. And the Torah, when it requires an ear, is not addressing the question of a shevet. The Shapi Yeshlomer could certainly accept that even if large, massive numbers of the Shevet were guilty of worshipping Avodah Zarah, we can still judge them under the law of a Shevet. What do you tell me? It's a krach? Who cares if it's a krach? That's irrelevant to Shevet. The Pasuk says it's got to be an ear with regard to Yoshe, with regard to Ir Anidachas. But we're talking about a whole different entity called Shevet Yehuda. Again, this paragraph is just pressing even harder how difficult this sugya is. Now he quotes the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch asks the following question. This Yalfusa, we have this derivation, which we saw in the Yerushalmi, that it says in the Pasuk Yoshve Ha'ir, to the exclusion of a kfar, which is too small, or a krach, which is too large. Havilam lemeimar detolui behadorim ba'ir. The im darim beir pachas mimea yesh zeshem ir. Right, we're going now according to Rabbi Yonasan. So Rabbi Yonasan says that what? Just one second. Let me get the mathematics here. If there's less than 100, no, I'm sorry. We're going according to Rabbi Yoshia. So what did Rabbi Yoshia say? It's from 10
to 100.
To 100. Ah, so now we have less than 100. So let's say we have 90 people living in this village. Is Yeshus Hashem ear? That's according to Rav Yoshe's definition of an ear. Vinidonis, it could be condemned as an ear anidachas. Im hayudarim ba yoser mimea, yatsa mechal ear, and therefore it's called a krach. That's Rav Yoshe. V'ein tzok shiyu ha'ovdim mea. Now, we're not saying that these numbers are defining the amount of people who were guilty of worshiping Avodah Zarah, because once you have a city, if the majority of the members of that city worship Avodah Zarah, then the city takes on the status of an Ir Anidachas with all the dinim that apply. So when we talk about the numbers of 10 to 100, for example in Rav Yoshia, what we're talking about is not how many people actually worship Avodah Zarah. We're talking about the makeup of the city. How many people worship Avodah Zarah? Let's say you had 100 people in the city, which makes up an ear, according to Rav Yoshia, right, unless you go beyond 100, but as long as you're within the margins of 100, how many people actually worshipped Avodah Zarah in that city? 51. El afilu avdu nun aleph came and she'ein lohem ein lo shem ir al yidei shetar bo yos. Oh, now he's talking about a situation where the city is made up of 101 people, and let's say the majority of the 101 worship Avodah Zarah. There's no din of yirni dachas. Why? Because since 101 dwellers live in the city, ein lo shem ir. But rather it has the shame krach. Is memela im rov ansheha hudchu, even if you'll have the majority of this city. But what's the majority of 101? Is that 51? 51 is the majority? Okay. 51. Nevertheless, they would not be judged on the law of ir nidachas. Why? Even though it's rov ha'ir, because it's not a city, it's a metropolis, it's a krach. Ukmochen. This is the Minchas Chinuch saying, so too berov shevet in darim beir rov shevet. Once you hit the rov of the shevet, yesh lo shem krach. So it has the status of what?
Not a metropolis.
Of a krach. Oh, in other words, tmochein berov shevet. Oh, I'm sorry. Rov Shevet, he means, according to Rabbi Yonason, the city is larger than 100, but it still has the status of an ear. But if it has the status, I'm sorry, if it has dwellers equal to Rov Shevet, then according to Rabbi Yonason, it gets the status of a krach. The afim lo hudchu Rov HaShevet, el Rov HaIr LeChud, lo tehe nidones bedin ira nidachas tahavi krach. Just one second. Af im lo hudchu rov hashevet el rov ha'ir. Just one second. I'm a little confused here. What's he talking about? Rov shevet im dorim ve'ir rov shevet. So some sort of number. I understood there was some sort of abstract number called Rov Shevet. We have to figure out what that number is. And now, how many people live in that city? It's Rov Shevet.
Because
Yesh La Shem Krach. Now, then just one second, Alan. What's the next line, if you could enlighten me? He says, V'af im lo hudchu Rov HaShevet. One second. Oh, okay. Yeah, he's basically repeating what he said before. In other words, it doesn't matter if the number of worshippers is less than Rov Shevet. That's irrelevant, because once the city is made up of Rov Shevet, I don't care how many people are actually worshipping the Avodah Zarah. The afim lo hudchu rov hashevet. That's not a ptur. There's no ptur here if rov hashevet worshipped the Avodah Zarah. El rov ha'ir lechud. Those words are confusing to me, but just one second. So it means that since this city is made up of rov shevet, therefore it's a krach. The afim lo hudchu rov hashevet. So the numbers of idol worshippers was only Rov Ha'ir. So that number is not equal to Rov HaShevet. Right. It's lo te'eni donus bedini or nidachas. Yeah, davi krach. Yeah, okay, it's fine. It's good. Right? So again, he's just reiterating what he said before in Rav Yoshia, just the numbers change. It means we don't care how many people are actually worshipping, and even if you get to a number that is less than that cap, so it's not that all 101 people are worshipping Avodah Zarah, or all of Rov HaShevet are worshipping Avodah Zarah. It's irrelevant. Why? Because the city is made up of more than 100 people in Rav Yoshia, or more than Rov Shevet in Rav Yonasan, and therefore it's not an ear, it's what? It's a krach. Ve'ilu miloshen Rambam shekosav sheyu hamudachim Mimea viad rubo shel shevet. Oh, this is fascinating. Let's go back to the Rambam at the beginning of the previous paragraph. Maybe we didn't read it carefully. V'yu hamudachim mimea viad rubo shel shevet. Whoa. Do you see that Rambam? Look at those words in the Rambam. This is a bomb. The Rambam is not talking about the makeup of the city, how many people live in the city, what's the population of the city. If it's more than 100, it's a krach. If it's more than a rov hashevet, it's a krach. Look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, V'yu hamudachim mimea viad rubo shel shevet. How many people actually worshipped Avodah Zarah? That's a monkey wrench. That undermines everything we've been saying, Rabbi Osai.
Well, it helps us.
Maybe it'll help us. Maybe the sugya will make more sense. I don't know. I'm still trying to calculate what the rabbi is saying because I'm so used to understanding this sugya the way we understood it until the rabbi. He says, "Ilu milosh and rabbi shekosu shiu amudachim." Mudachim means those who worship the idols. Mimea viad rubo shel shevet, meaning we're still within the margins of Rabbi Yoshia, because we have 100 people who are worshipping Avodah Zarah, and we have less than Rubo Shel Shevet worshipping Avodah Zarah, so it's in that margin, those numbers, is then, it's Nidon B'Din Irani Dachas. Mashma Detalia, what determines whether it's Nidon B'Irani Dachas? It depends upon the Mudachim, how many people worship. So Imayu Mudachim Pachos Mimea, even if it's a city that's larger than 100, but how many people worshipped? Only 99 people worshipped. And even if I calculate that the mudachim, these 99 people, constitute rov ha'ir. So in other words, the city, we're going according to Rav Yoshia now, is made up of more than 100 people, but how many were mudachim? Less than 100 people. Then it's an ir and idachas. Hamudachim heim rov ha'ir. So let's say the city is made up of 101, and 51 of them worshipped Avodah Zarah. That's called an ir and idachas, even according to Rav Yoshia, because the Rambam says we don't put the emphasis on how many people live in the city, and we make it into a crop, but how many people worshipped Avodah Zarah. Or, for example, if we go with Rav Yonasan, iludarim ba rov shevet. So you have a population that by far exceeds Rov Shevet, but Lo Hutchu, how many people actually worshipped Avodah Zarah? Rov HaShevet. I'm sorry, less than Rov HaShevet. So if it's less than Rov HaShevet, that's called an Irani Dachas. So
less,
let's just...
Less than Rosh HaShevet,
what do you say?
Less than Rosh HaShevet in that city, or Legamre?
Again, I'm assuming that Rov Shevet is some sort of abstract number. You know, maybe in that province, in that state, you know, it's occupied mostly by Shevet Zvulun. So how many people make up Shevet Zvulun at that moment in time? I don't know. I'm not sure. But let's just see if we get in one more paragraph before we have to stop. Vehine, Hagemara Paruch, the Afilu. The Afilu Rabbi Yonasan Loka Omar El Rubo Avokulo Lo. Right, Rabbi Yonasan says that if it's the entire the entire Shevet, then it's not an Irani Dach. Svitzarch Bir came on the mute the Rov HaShevet. Came on the mute the Rov HaShevet whom Mishum the Chaser B'Shem Ha'ir. This is already too complicated. This is where I got up to. Okay, Rabbi Osai, I got to go off to a Sheva Brochus outside the city. So let's stop here under Vehine, and I'll wish everyone a Shana Tova. If I can get your email address, because really, really, what I want to do in such a case, I don't know if it's feasible, but I would maybe ask you if possibly you can come 15 minutes earlier so that we can end the shiur 15 minutes earlier, only because I have to go to give out Zev now to a Sheva Brochus. But I didn't have your email addresses. I may have them somewhere, but I never recorded them, so I'm guilty of that. Okay then? So everyone should have a good night.
Next week is Ad Hashem will be Shiur.
I'm going to try my best. Again, I'm a little schwach after the fast, but if you guys will come.
After that, unfortunately, I'll be a month in Australia. It's a bit longer.
Starting when? Tzom Gedalia? You're leaving on Tzom Gedalia?
No, we're actually leaving 2 days before.
Because I can imagine if you're going on to Australia and Tzom Gedalia, you're going to have to fast for 3 days.
We leave 2 days before Yom Kippur, we leave.
I see.